Welcome to What's Poppin', a podcast where we get to know the people of Prince of Peace a little bit better and dig deeper into the message from the previous Sunday. Today, my guest is Pastor Dan Etner. Pastor Etner, thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're very welcome.
So, Pastor Etner, the first thing I want to ask you is, how long have you lived in the area?
I came here in 2011. I was in the active duty Army at the time as a chaplain. I was at Fort Hood, Texas, and I got PCS orders, permanent change of station orders to come to Moffitt. And when we came here, as I looked at it, I had never lived in the Bay Area, but I knew Pastor Zelt from seminary and knew there was a school, and my wife's a music teacher, and found that they could have a position for her. And so rather than move near Moffitt in Mountain View, we searched for a home in near Fremont, and we ended up in Newark, buying the house unseen. You know, we were in Texas, and the realtor sent us a notice that it had just come onto the market. It was bank-owned, and we liked what we heard about it, so made an offer and got that home.
You've been here for a while because of the military, so you reference your military background. Real quick, what did you end with your ranking in the military? What was your end rank?
I was a lieutenant colonel and came to Mountain View, and I like to say I was kind of like a position of a district president, because I supervised 175 reserve chaplains in a 7-state region from here to Arkansas, and then 100 chaplain candidates. They were seminarians that were coming in as second lieutenants into the chaplain corps.
That's awesome. How did you get to Prince of Peace then?
I knew Pastor Zelt, and so yeah. We wanted to, Barbara found a position right away, and mm-hmm. so we knew that that's where we were going to go, and as she was working here at the school. And,
yeah.
But I didn't attend very often because, not because I didn't want to, but military service took me out of town all the time. I was constantly traveling, doing marriage retreats and family retreats, or when I'd get a call on a Saturday morning, say, "Chaplain, you got to be in some place in Oklahoma because there was a suicide and we need you there." And so I never knew from day to day where I was going to be. So Sundays were pretty much out as far as being able to worship. Barbara, of course, was able to.
Yeah. Okay. So Barbara was able to worship here. You were doing this and that for the military at the time. Then you retired from the military.
After 5 years ago, I retired, and my thought at first was, well, if I take a call to be a pastor of a congregation full time, then I'd be moving again.
I moved too many. Anywhere, yeah.
I moved too many times in the military, and because
how many times have you moved? Because you figured that out.
I have moved 42 times in my life, not because of military, growing up.
So many times.
Yeah. Well, one of those places was a tent for 7 months in Afghanistan. One of those, I counted my dorm rooms.
I think those count.
Yeah. Yeah. They count as a place where you live. But
all right, so I interrupted you because I wanted to hear how many times you moved, but you were talking about how you didn't want to move anymore.
At first, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and I actually got a job working for Amazon, and that lasted only a few weeks.
I don't remember that part.
one, because it was at a center where you move the boxes around onto crates, but I also right away got a call from the district president who said, Pastor Etner, would you be willing to come and do vacancy pastor work at a congregation whose pastor just went was called to another congregation?" And so I've actually been doing that for the last 5 years. I'm on my fifth church right now in Dublin, and my wife Barbara keeps saying it's like we're still in the military because we, you know, I'm not able to attend here because I do every Sunday worship in one of these churches that I've been serving with.
But this is your last one, right? At least for a while.
Yeah. Well, district really twist my arm. But
and can you explain for the people who are listening what that means to be a vacancy pastor?
Well, their full-time pastor has left, and I guess the other choice was to have a different pastor every Sunday. Mm. Or if you're an interim or vacancy pastor, you go in and you commit to serving them, usually until they get in another pastor full-time. And so you're just you're only there a couple days a week, so you're not able to do a lot of what a full-time pastor would do. But you're there on Sundays and or during Lent or Advent. You're doing special services. You're available for any funerals or weddings or baptisms as well. But the guidance of the congregation to, you know, develop new ministries is somewhat limited, being part-time.
Because you're not going to be there long-term.
Right, and wouldn't want to make any decisions that the next pastor would go, well, you know.
We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So some of the folks listening may not even really know because they haven't really seen him or been involved much, but Pastor Etner is on the staff here at Prince of Peace, and he's doing some fantastic work with a group called Epics, which I'm sure you have heard of if you're listening. But in case you don't know, that is Experience People in Christ Serving, right?
Service.
Yeah. And so it's our older folks, he does a great job with them on Thursdays, and we are waiting for Dublin to get a full-time pastor and a call there so we can have Pastor Etner around Prince of Peace a lot more and being around and more involved than he is now. And I think you're looking forward to that too, aren't you?
Yeah, and at Dublin, they just brought out a pastor from the Chicago area, and he was there last week, and the congregation voted, or the leadership voted to bring it to the voters this coming Sunday. And
oh, great.
So he should have a call unless the Holy Spirit leads the congregation otherwise. And he sounds we'll let the Holy Spirit
lead him
too.
Let the Spirit work on him, right?
But I'm thinking he may very well take it
this
time.
That'd be fantastic. And then we'll start seeing Pastor Etner around all the time, which would be great.
I can say I've been here on Sundays.
That's right. When's the last time you got to come here on a Sunday? It's got to be a long time.
Yeah, probably 2 years ago. There was a space between my interim churches of a couple of months, but it was just before the pandemic, actually. So is that 3 years ago?
Wow.
Because my other interims, they end on one Sunday and they start another one on the next Sunday because they've been waiting for me to finish one and start another. And so.
So this next question is a little bit unfair for Pastor Etner because he can't come to Sundays, but he made a point of watching or listening to the message on this past Sunday. And if you were someone who was live streaming or tried to watch the video, you're aware that it stopped abruptly. and you may not know that we lost power. It was quite the event during the message. We lost the power. Some people thought Jesus was coming back, which would have been fantastic. But it turns out that the electric company just had some issues in the area, and so we lost power for about 2.5 hours. But Pastor Etner did watch the message up to the point while we lost power. And so what are two things from the message that you thought were interesting or made you think more, or you just thought were you want to talk about?
Well, I liked where you mentioned that God exists outside of creation, and you referenced a snow globe, and I had never thought of it that way, and it's really, really true. You know, what we know is the universe and God's creation, but we also know from Genesis and God's inspired word that there was a time when that didn't exist.
Wasn't there.
But God existed.
Yeah.
And, to kind of mind-boggling and trying to think of that. And kind of like being in a snow globe and thinking that's your whole world.
Yeah.
And there's so much more. So I enjoyed that part. And then also where you talked about Jesus always followed the will of the Father. Mm. What did he do during the first 30 years that we know very little? We know when he was stayed in the temple and his family lost him for a time.
When he was 12, right? Yeah.
But other than that, I've often thought, what was it like to be his one of his brothers or sisters? Because we know from Scripture that they had those, or he had brothers and sisters.
Half brothers and sisters.
But did Mother Mary, always, turn to Jesus, said, "Who really did it?"
I never even thought about that, right? Like he probably always be like, "Well, it was Judas. He did it." You know, James.
And had to be hard growing up with a perfect brother as Jesus was, but I'm sure he managed it and was able to tactfully be the brother that they would appreciate.
Yeah, he'd still be the self-sacrificial, loving God person.
Yeah.
Right. Even as a child, and so. Well, it was probably difficult in some ways to be related to him, being a half brother or sister. It probably was pretty great too.
So it's probably good we don't have that written down in Scripture to,
to compare ourselves to. Very difficult. Cool. Anything else from the message?
You also talked about being family is in community is messy.
Yeah.
Thinking about that, where we often, as in our own families, get into conflict once in a while, and as a church, some people, get into that conflict and they walk away not only from the church but from God. That's not appropriate or fair for themselves even.
Yeah, and once you understand that you're our family, then it makes sense we're gonna bump heads and not always get along, but we also can't say we're not connected to each other. Like we are stuck together. Like this is for eternity, And so we need to work things out while we're here, but also understand it's not gonna go perfectly smooth until Jesus comes back.
And then it will go perfectly smooth.
And then it will go perfectly smooth.
In heaven.
Yep, exactly. Good. So some folks may know this, some may not, but Pastor Edner has started a God is Good group, so a G3 called the Fix It Crew. And it was his idea that he would gather some people who have various skills that could work on houses and things like that to help people in our congregation who can't help themselves with, minor things around the house. And he came up with this because I didn't know this until about 3 or 4 months ago, probably 4 months ago, that he has remodeled many, many houses in his life and done much plumbing and electrical and woodworking thing. And he showed me his tool shed, which is really cool. And so this next question, I don't know how he's going to answer it, but the question is, Pastor Edner, what is your favorite tool and why?
Well, I right after I was married, I bought a ShopSmith, which is a multi-use tool. It is a table saw, or it can be a drill press, or a horizontal drilling machine, or a lathe, or you can buy attachments, which I never did, where it can be a bandsaw, and I think there's some other ones. Huh. But I bought that, and I've made most of our bedroom furniture and a lot of stuff around the house. Whenever I need a table saw or I need to set it up as a drill press, it saves space. It was also all those moves. Moved a whole lot, so it's very sturdy. And I think as I was thinking about my favorite tool, that would probably be it. Although not too many years ago, I bought a compressor, which I had never had.
Oh,
I wish I would have bought that 40 years ago.
Yeah, right? Compressors. Who would have thought how handy they are?
To nail guns and staplers or blowing up the pool tool.
Or just cleaning off the shop floor, all that sort of stuff. It's super handy to have a compressor. Loud, but handy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the
Shopsmith.
The Shopsmith, right? So you got it right after you were married. So how long ago was that?
Well, we've been married 42 years, so probably 40 years ago.
So 40 years ago, it still works.
Yeah.
And where'd you get it from? Sears?
I bought it used. Obviously, it wasn't eBay back then. probably saw something in the newspaper. And so it was used 40 years ago, and it's still...
Still working great.
Still working.
And is it in the center of your workshop, your little work area? Yeah. Okay, I remember seeing it.
And I've bought a lot of other tools. I always justify it whenever I need to buy something. Say, well, if I paid a professional come do it, it'd be a whole lot more.
Yeah, at least an hour of that person's work would pay for this tool. So you might as well get it on and use it again and be able to lend to somebody else if they need it. Yeah. What is the tool you purchased? You're like, after you got it, you're like, oh, that wasn't helpful at all.
There's a few tools I've only used once. Like recently I had to cut a 4-inch pipe that was had to reach under the house to cut it, and there was the only way is to buy this tool. And so I made one cut with it, and it was a special one I had to buy that would cut a 4-inch, and I thought maybe I should put that on eBay.
Right. Yeah, you may not need that again.
Don't see myself cutting 4-inch pipes too often.
But once again, getting a plumber out there to do that underneath the house would not be inexpensive. You folks have heard everything that Pastor Edner can do. So, like, I mean, he'll buy a 4-inch pipe cutter if he needs to, right? And so if you do know somebody who is in need of help around the house that can't afford the help or can't do it physically, get in touch with him, and the Fix-It crew might be able to help them and help them get their house back up to where it needs to be, you know, so that it's healthy and safe and working properly. Is that about right for that crew?
Yeah. And that the house being safe, I think, is the biggest thing.
Yep.
And I grew up, and my father died when I was young, and I was the oldest, and I think that's where I learned something needs to be fixed. You got to fix it.
Got to fix it. Yeah.
You can't always pay for it. So I know, and widows and widowers and others that have these, even changing the battery in a smoke detector sometimes is daunting for
people. Or just getting to a light bulb and putting a new light bulb in, it can be very difficult for some folks. So working in a dark kitchen because they can't actually change the light bulb, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be a big job. In fact, smaller jobs are probably preferred.
Yeah, we're not going to replumb anyone's house.
Pastor Edner, thank you so much for coming in from Dublin today to be part of this podcast. And I really hope that a lot of folks will listen to this and get to know you a little bit better and ask you questions about things in the future.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.